Welcome to Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast with Alexia Leachman, the weekly nine-month podcast to help parents-to-be look forward to their fear-free childbirth. Alexia is a pregnancy and head trash clearance coach and the author of Fear-Free Childbirth, How to Have a Stress-Free Pregnancy and a Positive, Pain-Free Birth. As a mum who's had two fear-free and pain-free births, Alexia wants to share with you how she overcame her pregnancy and childbirth fears, so that you can look forward to having a fear-free birth too. Over the nine-month life of this podcast, Alexia will be sharing some real-life stories from mums and dads, insights into the latest childbirth research, inspiring tales from birth professionals, and some tips and techniques for clearing your fears and stresses. If you would like to receive a free chapter from her book, then head over to fearfreechildbirth.com, where you can also sign up for her email series, How to Have a Stress-Free Pregnancy. But now, it's time for the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast. This is me, your host, Alexia Leachman. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, before I dive in, I just want to say a big, big thank you to some of you listeners. I've just come across some iTunes reviews that have come all the way from Canada, and I think there's one from Australia as well. And because I'm based in the UK, whenever I log into iTunes, I don't see these reviews. So I didn't know that they were there. So I've just stumbled across them because there's going to be some UK podcasting awards soon. And I was doing a bit of research to find out what I needed to do to find out about asking you guys to help vote for my podcast. And on the ukpodcasters.com website, where I think you're going to be able to vote for the podcast, they've collated some reviews. So I've literally only just discovered these reviews. So I just want to say a massive, massive thank you to Kelly the Great 1981, who says, "This podcast is a godsend. I'm so grateful for the podcast and the work that Alexia is doing. I was terrified of giving birth. But after finding this podcast, I feel empowered and reassured." And apparently her husband has also listened to the podcast episode, Birthing for Blokes, and it's helped him to understand his role too and brought them closer together. So that is just brilliant. And I'm going to tell Mark that that episode has helped you guys. I really am. He's going to be so chuffed to hear that. And then Steffi G83 says, "Thank you. I stumbled across this podcast on a sleepless night on my 38th week of pregnancy." And she what else does she say? There's a really quite long review, so I'm not going to read it all out. But she says, "It's helped change her entire attitude towards childbirth and feel safe in the knowledge that my baby will come when she's ready and that her body has the ability to do exactly what it needs to do. And childbirth is not something to ponder what may or may not go wrong." And then finally, there's another review from Redgill 1978 saying, "Every pregnant woman should listen. I'm loving this podcast. We absolutely need more useful and positive information regarding pregnancy and childbirth." And so she's saying this podcast provides a great alternative to all the scary stuff out there. So I just want to say thank you, ladies, for your lovely reviews. It really means a lot to me because sometimes when I'm sitting here recording them, I'm not always sure if anyone's listening. So it's lovely to know that A, you're listening, but B, you're finding the podcast really useful and they're helping you on your pregnancy journey. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of this little bit, I was just saying there are some UK podcasting awards happening and the awards ceremony is going to be in September. So I would really appreciate a vote for this podcast. I'd love to tell you what to do, but I'm still trying to find out what to do to get you to vote. All I know is that it all happens at ukpodcasters.com. So that's a UK podcasters, all one word. And there's a big nominate button. But other than that, I'm not entirely sure. So I'm trying to find out the details. And once I know more about that, I will share it on the Facebook page, the Fear-Free Childbirth Facebook page. And I would really appreciate your support. Because, well, everyone needs an award in their life, don't they? So if I could have an award-winning podcast, that would be amazing. My other podcast, The Head Trash Show, got nominated for an award when it was launched a few years ago. But because it hadn't been running long enough, I didn't make it to the final 10. And that was in LA. That would have not in LA, in Las Vegas. That would have been amazing. But to be nominated in the UK Podcasters Award would be fantastic. So if once I do know more, I will share more with you. Anyway, back to today's show, which is all about meditation in pregnancy. Now, meditation is something that we are all familiar with. I mean, and now science is finally catching up, and there's a load of evidence out there now telling us how brilliant meditation is for helping us to really calm down those negative emotions and really eliminate stress and anxiety from our lives and all that other good stuff. But also it's a really great, you know, great daily practice to have, maybe not daily, but certainly regularly in the week, that can help you to calm and find that space that you need to think things through or to not think things through, depending on what your approach to meditation is. And also a really great thing for kids to do as well. So today on the show, I've got a brilliant guest who's going to be coming on the show. I'm going to be speaking to Tony Fraser Brennand. Now, Tony is a meditation teacher and she teaches pregnant women to meditate. But she stumbled across meditation when she was having her own life challenge, and she sort of found herself being, a friend of hers said, hey, you need to teach this because of the journey that you've been on and how it's kind of helped you turn yourself around. And next thing you know, that's what she decided to do. So she's going to be talking a lot about her journey. But the great thing that Tony shares is, you know, she's going to tell us about how meditation has helped her during her pregnancy, but then how it helped her to prepare her for her birth. Now, this interview today is not just about talking about meditation in pregnancy. It's also a lovely pregnancy story, but it's also a brilliant birth story. She tells us about how her birth unfolded and it didn't go according to plan, but how her meditation practice helped her to just really cope with that and go with the flow and deal with it, and how it was such a positive experience for her. And during our chat, Tony really does share a lot of wisdom and a lot of insight and how she's using that meditation stuff that she's learning, everything she's gained from doing meditation, how that's informing her in terms of her mothering with her little one who's now two. And it really is a lovely, lovely interview, and she is fabulous to listen to. She's got a lovely accent, so if you guys who aren't from the UK, you're going to love listening to Tony because she's got an accent that comes from the north of the country, so maybe it's very, very different to mine. So it's an absolute pleasure to listen to, and she shares so many brilliant insights and wisdom. So this is the time that I spoke to Tony Fraser Brennand all about how you can use meditation during your pregnancy to help you to prepare for a fear-free birth. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast, Tony. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Lex. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, now today we're going to be talking about meditation and how the pregnant woman can use meditation on her pregnancy journey. But before we start talking about all that good stuff, can you just please tell the listeners what you do and how you came to do? How come you are now here talking to us about meditation for pregnant women?
So 5 years ago, that's when it all started for me, when I was just getting severe migraines and just a loss of direction of what I wanted to do in life. So it all happened by accident, and I ended up at this meditation centre learning to meditate, and everything just rippled from there, really. My migraines seemed to practically disappear after years and years of just being haunted by them, and I just started to reach new levels within my own personal journey and just diving in deeper into what I truly want in life. I still don't fully know the answer of what I want in life, but I'm a lot more open to just going along for the ride.
So have you been teaching meditation since that experience, or how did you get into sort of deciding that, hey, this meditation's great and now I'm going to start doing it as my work?
Okay, so I learned to meditate 5 years ago, and then I was just experiencing so many benefits that I kept going on further courses, which is to dive into the deeper parts of myself, you know, creating the life that I wanted to live, or just moving beyond my own limitations. So by going on the further courses, I was diving in deeper, and then my teacher said, well, why don't you come and learn to be a teacher? At that point, the fact that I'm here now is already moving beyond my wildest dreams. But the amount of anxiety and control that I had in my life, I sometimes don't even recognize myself as I am now. So that's really why I was just so inspired by my own transformation that it's a pleasure to just do this. It really is. It's a gift.
Absolutely. No, it sounds like you've come a long way from having a meditation practice.
Yeah, And it's so simple. All it is a 20-minute-a-day practice. And then what happens is that you start to get an awareness on yourself. So by having this awareness, you can make a huge transformation in your own life.
So you say that you work with pregnant women and teach them to meditate. So would you mind just sort of telling me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so because I meditate all throughout my own pregnancy, and then I had a very powerful labour, and the healing that happened afterwards was amazing, that I was thinking, hang on a minute, this is way beyond just this technique. It's if you can do something amazing for a mother and for this child that's in the womb and create that sense of security in a womb state, you're actually setting your child up for life.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of people that I've and certainly a lot of research that I've read as well, that the kind of practice or the work that you might do on yourself to help to bring about a positive state of mind and well-being and really promote those positive emotions can have such an impact on the baby while they're marinating in your belly, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
If you can marinate them in beautiful positive emotions, then you're creating a really great environment for baby to grow.
Exactly. And through me just doing my own deeper meditations, what I found out is that a lot of my deep fears are actually coming from the womb.
Really?
So this was a huge, huge thing for me, that I just kept being shown things from the womb of what I was absorbing. So I think it's totally natural for a woman to feel fear during birth, and what I'm saying is not to suppress that, but just to feel it, but then to release it. Because then if you're connecting to something that's truly pure to source, then you're just giving, again, like you just said, the baby all that security and all that love juice rather than fear.
So when you say that you became aware of fear coming from your womb, was that during your pregnancy? When was that?
It's actually, it sounds totally whack when I say this, but in all my deeper meditations, what's been revealed to me is me in the womb. So I can actually feel my mum's anxiety.
Wow, amazing. No, that doesn't surprise me at all. So in a way, do you think you're actually recollecting your own birth experience or your own experience of being in the womb as part of your meditation practice?
I don't know, it just always comes up for me, and it feels like part of my journey is that maybe all that what I absorbed in the womb is to now pass on something completely different, that a soul coming into this world can be coming from such a secure place rather than the place that I was in.
Absolutely. And certainly
that's my journey. I totally accept, and I don't blame anyone for that. This is part of my journey. That's what was meant to be.
No, there's another person that I'm going to be speaking to on the podcast soon that talks a lot about how the emotions that we experience that are our mother's emotions when we're in the room absolutely get transferred to us, and how that birth experience really does kind of set our own emotional blueprint for what the people that we're going to become. And then it becomes the stuff that we have to wrestle with as adults and do meditation to clear. And it sounds like that is the kind of journey that you've been on, where you absorbed your mother's anxiety, and that's been your journey to figure out that you needed to clear it, and now you're clearing it so that you don't pass that on to your baby. And that's what sounds like you've successfully managed to do.
Well, I'm doing it. I'm constantly working on it. You know, I don't feel that you just clear it out and then that's it. I feel that even now I clear, but as I'm clearing, I'm still clearing for my son. You know,
absolutely.
If I can try and remove things from me and embrace those love those parts of me that have been shut down, then he'll reap the rewards of that.
Tell me about your pregnancy then, and how your, if you don't mind, just sort of sharing a little bit more about your pregnancy journey and how you used your meditation practice during your pregnancy journey, and also, you know, I really want to know about your birth as well. So would you mind just sort of maybe starting with your pregnancy journey and how that was for your pregnancy?
Pregnancy was just amazing. I felt like I was just walking on cloud nine the whole time, to be honest.
Really?
So really just, again, just doing a meditation practice. And normally it's a 20-minute practice, but because you're pregnant, you can do it as much as possible. So, you know, it might be 2 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever. It's all about letting go, not achieving, not resisting, but just giving yourself that time to really connect to the truth of who you are and also to the soul that you're carrying. So again, lots of energy, full baby bloom, felt really amazing and just blessed to be like carrying a baby.
Yeah, absolutely.
So really just being thankful for my body.
And the meditation practice that you use, what kind of practice is it? Is it, you know, is it a do you focus on breathing? Are there any mantras or affirmations or?
Yeah, it's a mantra. So all mantra means is mind trick. So you're giving the mind a job to do, and it's working along with thoughts and breath. But it's about releasing deep rooted stress that you know is holding us back. So it's a simple practice. But what it will do is in your everyday life, it will create these opportunities where you'll see little bouts of awareness where you can move beyond things. Without awareness, we can't really shift anywhere. But the whole point of the practice is not about having a 20 minutes experience, but about experiencing things like creativity, love, trust, joy, energy. We want these in our 23 hours of life, not 20 minutes of meditation.
Yeah.
So it's about bringing all this to life. Mm-hmm. So I like to see it as like a dumper truck, where the dumper truck comes along and your mind's being open and it's going blah, 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 dump. Yeah. Take out some of that stress, please. And then it's like clearing away and a shower for the mind.
Yeah, no, it sounds fabulous. So you had an amazing pregnancy. I imagine that you probably, it sounds like you didn't have many pregnancy symptoms that caused you any stress by the sounds of it. Is that
just
right?
Just heartburn. Yeah. Remember that with fond memories.
Oh, yes, don't we all? Heartburn. Apparently they say heartburn is because your baby's got a head of hair. Did your baby, was he born with hair?
Loads of hair.
There you go, because I had heartburn twice. Both my babies, huge heads of hair. It's true. It's true, ladies. If you've got heartburn, you've got a hairy baby. So what about in the weeks leading up to your birth then? How was that for you?
Fine, I was over as well, and I just kept feeling like it's fine, he'll come when he's meant to, really just trusting in the whole process of this is what my body was made to do and I can do it. So really letting go of fear, because you know, within the whole medical field there's so much fear around birth now, and it's just like it's your natural thing to do. I just kept reminding myself of that. Animals do it all the time, women in Africa do it all the time, my mum did it, my grandma did it, we've been doing this forever.
Yeah,
it's perfectly natural.
Absolutely. So you say you were over, how far over were you?
I was 7 days over.
Okay. Yeah. So you weren't getting any significant sort of pressure from the medical community, as it were, your midwife or anybody for inductions at that point? You were still fairly well protected, I would imagine.
No, I was just like, I'm fine, I'm going with it.
And so what about the birth? How was the birth? You mentioned it was powerful earlier. What did you mean by that?
Extremely powerful. So every time I went to do my midwife checkup, she'd say, oh, perfect position. And I remember this glee inside, like, yes, my baby's in perfect position. How naive. So what happened was, in the last, when I was about to go into labour, Vinny actually turned, so he went into back-to-back birth.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So for me, the experience really, really showed me the power that I have within and to really go within and trust what was within. So I'm not going to, for me, that birth was perfect, because now working with women that are pregnant, it showed me that every woman is going to have their own birthing experience. So my plan was to have a home birth. It didn't go to plan. I ended up in hospital, but that was the most perfect one for me, because it then showed me that all women are just doing this. And sometimes it doesn't go to plan, but that's not gonna stop.
Yeah. <So. laughs> And it sounds to me as well that all your, with your meditation practice, with this, any words that you've used quite a lot already during our chat, is this letting go and letting go and the fear. And it sounds like you're able to let go of your ideal birth or the idea that you had of this home birth. And I think that's quite crucial, isn't it? That there are some women that just get so attached to this ideal birth. And the minute it goes off plan, they start getting really disappointed and stressed and upset, and a load of negative emotions pile in at that point. Whereas if you're able to let go of that and just go with the flow,
and just remaining flexible the whole time. It's like, okay, something might change. But one thing I do know is that as soon as I did go into hospital, you know, the doctor didn't even look at me. First of all, he just talked to my husband and was rubbing his hands together, right, going cesarean, and he didn't even look at me. And my husband, thank goodness, is just a lovely, supportive partner, and said, hey, I'm not the one in labour here, she is, and you need to be talking to her. And then me really sticking to my guns, and it's funny what labour does to you, doesn't it? Like my husband said, oh, she was such an amazing midwife, and I was thinking, she was really bossy. But actually, by her me feeling that, she really helped me to go, no, I want to be on all fours, that's how I'm going to deliver my son. Or, you know, I don't want this thing strapped around my tummy, I want to feel like I can breathe. That's just making me more anxious. So it really made me feel this like inner voice come in. And that was because I was so in tune to what was going on within. I knew the whole time that my baby was completely safe. He was monitored. And in that trust, it's like this miracle just happened. And from not dilating for however long to them, all of a sudden, massive dilation, and this surge of energy just came over. And it is really that animal power with inside you. Just the more I tuned in, I remember seeing this red light on the wall in such a sterile unit, and just looking into it. But then it was like I was breathing the red light into me, and it was giving me more and more power. And then, it was just magical.
Wow, I'm getting tingles listening to you say that. So the huge surge came, and I would imagine at this point that you just birthed the baby.
Kept the placenta on, whispered my mantra straight into Vinny's ear, and it was like, we have it on camera, and it's like he let out this little smile. Oh. It's very like, oh, I'm getting like, oh, all gooey about it now.
I am.
But then it was like, after that, everything just felt so alive. Mm. Everything inside me was just like pulsating, and I'm supposed to be really exhausted. I didn't feel that at all. I was just absolutely bouncing with energy. I'd done this amazing thing. I'd brought this little baby into the world, and music seemed clearer, and it was breastfeeding took a while to get onto, but I stuck with it and did that, and just again trusting I meant to feed. And I remember the breastfeeding woman coming round to my house saying that he's got a job and you've got a job, it's not all about you. And that was a really huge teaching for me, that actually it's not all about me, it's he's got to find his way in life. Mm. He's got to do his part, and you've got to do yours. And often, as parents, we feel like we've got to be doing it right all the time. And sometimes it's the not doing that's getting it right.
Absolutely. Or creating the space so that they can find the way forward.
Exactly.
Rather than feeling like you always have to be the one that shows the route, as it were.
Yeah. And how many times has my little boy shown me the way all the time?
Yeah. Well, they are our greatest teachers, these little things that come into our lives. That's certainly what I found with my two, that's for sure. So so how long was your labour in birth in the end?
In total, here we go, I think it was 40 hours.
Wow.
Yay.
Oh, my goodness.
I had gas and air and a little bit of Syntocin.
Okay, that's incredible. How on earth did you keep going for that long?
God knows.
Wow. And so you say you started at home and then you got transferred to the hospital. Is that because it appeared not to be moving forward, or?
Yep, so they just got to that point where they said, okay, we need you to go in. And I was in agreement with that. I said, okay, it's time to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's when they gave you a little bit of a nudge with the Syntocin.
Yeah, when I got into hospital, yeah. But I totally get the whole medical field, because they see all these cases all the time, so they just want that baby out safe. But I think so many women just hand it straight over to, you know, to the medical field. And it's like, you could have You totally could have done that.
Yeah. And so for you, was there, I'm going to mention the P word now, pain. Did you experience any pain during your labour?
Yes.
Yeah. How was that for you?
If I could describe a back-to-back birth, I would describe it as trying to get a giant size elephant poo out. That's the nicest, kindest way to do it. But again, it's one of those things as I did it. So afterwards, the repair of my body was just like, okay, that was the experience that I was supposed to have. And it really did show me, if I can do that, I can do anything.
Yeah. So when you say repair to your body, did you have stitches or anything like that afterwards? Or?
Slight stitch, yeah, a few stitches. But again, it was just healed, you know, no really? Real pain or discomfort afterwards. And afterwards, coming out and just really resting, you know, that you get an influx of visitors, don't you? Which is quite nice. But sometimes it's just like, actually, I just want to enjoy this new little baby. I'm not ready to everyone to come round yet. And having the courage inside to say, I'm just bonding right now, or just having my time with my family and doing what I want to do rather than what everyone else wants to do, even though it's such an exciting time, you know.
Yeah. And so were you doing your practice at this point when you'd just come out of the hospital? Were you sort of maintaining your meditation practice throughout all of this?
Yeah, so if I was breastfeeding, I would be meditating. Every time I was sitting down, I'd be meditating. So it could be 5 minutes, 2 minutes. Again, it's the same thing. It's not a strict thing. It's a very simple practice. And because you're taught step by step, you know you're getting it right. Whereas if you were to learn from a book, you're constantly feeling like, am I getting this right? Am I not? Mm. The whole point is that you're reassured that you're getting it right. So my little boy's 2. He still has a nap. As soon as he has a nap, I go meditate. And it's hilarious because when I meditate, when he goes for a nap, always goes to sleep. The minute I go, I'll just put the washer on or I'll wash up, he's always acting up for me.
Really?
Rah, 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 rah. Won't go to sleep.
Now, I'm slightly disappointed that you said that when you were breastfeeding, you meditated instead of doing your pelvic floor exercises. Because I knew that I should have used that time.
I'm constantly doing pelvic floor. I've got a yoga teacher that tells me that all the time.
Those damn pelvic floor exercises. So you and have you tried meditating with your little one?
So what I do is so sometimes my little boy can't sleep at night. So I do a mantra out loud, and it really does calm him.
Does it?
Really does. Yeah. So I do the deep breath, inhale, exhale. Loud mantra, and then I will say namaste, and he always claps at the end.
Does he? How lovely.
Yeah. It just brings him into
Well, I would imagine that if he's, you know, you've been doing that the whole time he was inside your belly, and so that's going to be really familiar to him, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he's going to feel really secure and safe when he hears that.
Yeah, we do it in the car for fun, you know. Sometimes we'll just have a little mantra chant out, and he loves it. It's like, how come my voice can do this, or time to be quiet. He's only a little tot, so, you know.
So give me a quick little run through of your meditation practice then. What is the, you've talked about the program, you've talked about that you teach pregnant women this meditation technique. So can you just sort of share a little bit about this technique then for those that maybe aren't familiar with meditation or are kind of interested in what is it that you're doing exactly?
Okay, so the technique is a mantra technique. Again, mantra just means mind trick, so you're giving the mind a job to do. So often people will say, oh, I want to clear my mind, or I want to still my mind. And actually, it's really hard to do that. Unless you're dead, you're not going to have a clear mind, really, are you? You know, thoughts are there. So thoughts are all completely part of this meditation technique. And then we're working alongside them. And then when we do this, the mind and the body link together. So therefore, deep-rooted tension that we've incurred over our lifetime can begin to be released. And then we can move beyond our own limitations because it's no longer holding us in that place.
You're putting on your hypnotic voice and I can feel myself going deeper. So it's very much sort of almost being okay with thoughts And so sort of embracing them, observing them, and then yep. tuning into your breath so that you really do connect mind and body. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so
you can't give too much away because it's like giving the whole technique away. But
well, no, I don't do that.
It's a step-by-step taught technique. So it's effortless. Mm. It's sacred. It's just a pleasure to do. Mm. You know, once you get into the routine of doing it, you'll want to go and do it. And it's not like, oh, I've not done it today, I beat myself up. It's just like, oh, tomorrow I need to do my meditation, or want to do a meditation. So it's all about being kind to yourself and embracing rather than more to do. This world is just getting crazy, isn't it? Achieve more, get more, more. And it's like, actually, sometimes the less we do, we can create space that new things can come in.
Yeah. And so have you found that your meditation practice, how has that served you as a parent, as a new mum?
Yep, so still doing it now, still my daily practice. I'm constantly diving deeper because I want to move beyond my own limitations. So I always do further practices, but daily I still do this practice because it grounds me. It's like a huge cup of love being poured into me. And the more I can fill my cup, then the more stuff can flow out to everyone else rather than concentrating on everyone else and then me becoming last. Yeah. It's the opposite. You fill yours and everything else will be flowing to everyone else. Mm.
So it sounds to me like that's really kind of benefited your the new mum period that maybe a lot of women kind of maybe struggle with and find challenging, overwhelming, difficult, whatever. It sounds to me like you've kind of swung through that effortlessly and easily. Is that fair to say?
I've still got a two-year-old. A two-year-old, any child brings up stuff for you, doesn't it? Mm. Without a doubt. But, you know, it doesn't get me stuck in it.
Mm.
It's like, oh, okay, this will pass.
Mm.
Okay, if I'm having one of those days, I'm not going to go, oh, I'm having the worst day possible. Why? It's like, okay, this will pass. Tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah.
This next hour is new. It can completely change. And it's often how what's going on with us is a reflection. So if I'm an absolute grump and my toddler's a grump, it's usually because it's me.
Yeah.
If I'm having the best time, he's having the best time. Yeah. They're totally in tune with what's going on with us. So the more we can accept that and see whatever's going on with our toddler as a reflection or baby, it'll help us to go within more.
And I think that's a really important point to make, actually, that, you know, that we were connected, mother and baby, and to think that when baby's not happy that isn't a reflection of us is slightly naive, really. It's like, hang on a minute, this little thing was growing inside you as part of you. Of course it's part of you.
Yeah.
And of course it's going to be reflecting some of that stuff that you're experiencing back at you. You know, it's a little mirror.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women forget that and think that, you know, oh, he's crying, he's doing this to annoy me again. No, he's not doing that at all. And just being open to the fact that we have a role, there's a responsibility that we can, you know, we can influence the outcome here by looking in the mirror ourselves. And so it sounds to me like this is something that you fully adopt in the way that you choose to live your life.
Totally. Everything's a growth period, isn't it? You know, I'm not perfect 24 hours a day. No way. So why am I expecting a little child to be like that? Of course he's going to get the grumps, or might be frustrated, or might be sad, or might be really hyper. Well, that's part of being a kid, isn't it? You know, so.
So if there's a lady listening who's pregnant, or maybe who's thinking about getting pregnant, or, you know, when would you advise somebody to start a practice like this?
Now.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So as soon
as possible.
When
the time's right for you, when you feel, oh, this is something I totally want to do, then you go with it. The whole point of this is you start tuning into what you want. So start listening to your voice, because everything out there is telling us what to do all the time. But it's like, if you feel something from within, then you know it's right for you. That's your gut.
Yeah. Well, you have shared a lot of wisdom today. It's been absolutely fantastic, Tony. And just want to thank you for coming on the Fear Free Childbirth podcast. Now, for anybody that's so interested in what you've got to say, where can they find out more about you online?
Okay, so I am at www.soulmeditation.co.uk.
Perfect. And are you on Twitter?
I am.
And where can we find you on Twitter?
At SoulMedTony.
At SoulMedTony. Perfect. Well, I'm going to have all those links in the podcast show notes. And certainly also, as we were having this chat, there's a couple of books have come to mind that I think might be worth sharing in the podcast show notes. And one is called Simplicity Parenting, which kind of hints at a lot of the stuff that you were talking about slowing down, taking stuff out of our lives to allow that space to be there. So I'm going to share that book information, and another one's called Playful Parenting, which I think is also fits very much with the kind of stuff that we've been talking about today. So I'm going to add those two things to the podcast show notes as well. And if there's any, if you've got any books or things that you think might be worth sharing with the listeners, then that you might want to share.
There's The Conscious Parent, and then I have an old one, which is Parenting for the Soul. I'll reconfirm that one because I think that's the title, but that's great. It just gives you, all I do is open it, I flick it to one page, and then I say, right, this is my note for today. And then it might just be, like my favourite one is that your child might say no all the time, but it doesn't mean no, it might mean not right now.
I love that. And The Conscious Parent, it's funny because I was watching a video by the lady, Dr. Shefali something, yeah, isn't it? She did a fantastic video that in part one and two on YouTube, which I wrote a blog about just last week. So I will re-include a link to that blog post within the show notes as well. And The Conscious Parent, that's one on my list. So I think I might just buy that, as you've mentioned that today. That's the universe giving me that twice in a week. I think maybe I ought to listen. So thank you for sharing everything that you've shared with me today, Tony. It's been absolutely fantastic. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's been amazing.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode with Tony. She's brilliant, isn't she? Just brilliant. Now, if you want to find her online, all the links are in the podcast show notes at fearfreechildbirth.com/Tony with an I. And also, while the episode has been playing, I've been busy checking into what needs to happen, what you can do to help vote for the podcast. So in the podcast show notes today, there will also be a button on the show notes to help you vote for the podcast. And all you need to do is just click on the link, put your email address in and vote. And if you want to be really nice, you can vote every day, because apparently you can vote every day and that will count. So if you're bored in pregnancy and you fancy sharing a bit of love and helping me to get an award, then that would be amazing if you fancy putting that in. So yeah, go to the podcast show notes at fearfreechildbirth.com/Tony, where you can find out more about Tony, but also vote for this podcast in the UK Podcasting Awards. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in. You've just been listening to Alexia Leachman from the Fear Free Childbirth Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really love it if you left a review on iTunes or Stitcher, or shared it with a friend. And don't forget, to get a free chapter from her book, head over to fearfreechildbirth.com to get your copy, as well as finding other episodes in this podcast and more about how Alexia can help you with pregnancy and birth preparation coaching. Until next time.